This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, Concordia Lutheran Church has at least one thing in common with most other Christian congregations. We love to get new members. However, more times than not, our new members are usually coming to us from another Christian congregation. In other words, they were already active in a church, and now they are becoming active in our church. Now please let me stress, I'm always excited and immensely happy to welcome new members who have been active Christians their whole lives. However, I do have this question. What about the people who have strayed from the Christian faith and haven't been to church in years? Even more, what about the people who have never been involved in a Christian congregation and don't even know why they need to trust in Jesus? What is keeping us from reaching people like this? You know, back in the 1950s, our church body had over 30 large Missouri Synod congregations in the immediate city of St. Louis, Missouri. Their sanctuaries looked like mini cathedrals. And back in the 1950s, some of these congregations worshipped over 1,000 people per weekend. You might wonder, how did they experience such growth? Well, all they had to do was build a church in their German neighborhoods, and when they opened the doors, German Lutherans would walk in and become active members. However, if you would visit one of these Missouri Synod congregations in St. Louis City today, in most of them, you would be lucky to find 20 people in a sanctuary that could sit 600. In fact, when I lived in St. Louis, I used to preach at one of these city congregations from time to time. Just a few weeks ago, I was informed by the chairman of that congregation that they were closing their doors. Now, I must say, there were a small number of very, very dedicated members in that congregation that did their best to keep the doors open. But the effort was too little, too late. You know, back in the 1950s, this same LCMS congregation would open their doors and hundreds of German Lutherans would walk in. But as of last year, this same congregation was blessed if they had 15 people in church on Sunday. What happened? Well, simply put, if you look at the demographics of St. Louis City from the 1950s until now, their neighborhood changed drastically over the years. Most of St. Louis City congregations are now surrounded by people who were not raised in church and do not know why they need to trust in Jesus. And sadly, many of our St. Louis City congregations have declined to the point of closing their doors because over the years they failed to become missionaries with the people in their congregation's neighborhoods. Now, thankfully, I can say that we do have a few LCMS congregations in St. Louis City that are growing. But the reason they are growing is that their members are actively involved in worship and Bible class, and these same members are reaching out to the people in the neighborhoods of their congregation, sharing God's word with them. Now, of course, I admit that Jamestown, North Dakota is not the same as St. Louis City, not even close. In fact, North Dakota has one of the highest rates of church attendance compared to other places in this nation. But we shouldn't get too comfortable with that fact. You see, if you compare church attendance in North Dakota today with church attendance in North Dakota back in the 1950s, we have also experienced a serious decline. In fact, some North Dakota people who were raised in the church, they're no longer active. And then there are other North Dakota people who have never been involved in a Christian congregation and do not know why they need to trust in Jesus. My friends, we have people like this right here in Jamestown. The question is, how are we going to reach these people? Well, listen to these words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? My friends, God's plan for reaching the lost of this world has not changed in almost 2,000 years. God sends us out to be His witnesses to the people in our community. God wants to reach the lost through you and me, His redeemed people. That means we have the honor of speaking the gospel to people when God gives us the opportunity. However, most of our congregations, including ours, could do a much better job at sharing God's word with the lost in our community. But what keeps us from doing this? Well, one thing that hinders evangelism is spiritual apathy. And we're all guilty of this from time to time. By spiritual apathy, I mean that we're content with the fact that we're saved, but we've lost our compassion for those who do not know Jesus. A second thing that hinders evangelism is worldly distractions. When you think about our modern world, we have filled our schedules with so many things that we forget to make time for worship and especially evangelism opportunities. And then a third thing that hinders evangelism very often is fear. Let's face it, we're scared that we won't be able to communicate God's word properly. We're scared that people might ignore us, or mock us, or hate us if we try to witness to them. Now, all these things I've mentioned are obstacles that the devil has put in our paths to keep us from being missionaries in our community. And sadly, we've often given in to these temptations. Of course, the good news is that in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We can come to Him with all of our failures at evangelism, knowing that we are clean and holy in His sight through Jesus' sacrifice for us. With that said, I would like to mention one other obstacle to evangelism, and that obstacle is this. We often fail to be witnesses for Jesus because we believe that we're not worthy. We think that we're too sinful to be involved in such a holy thing as telling other people about Jesus. You know, I remember when I was in college in the pre-seminary program of Concordia in St. Paul. Here I was, a young man planning to go to the seminary and be a pastor. But you need to know, at that time I was struggling with whether I could even do that. You see, I was aware of the many evil desires in my heart. I was convicted by the many terrible thoughts that had gone through my head. I was burdened by the wicked words that had passed through my mouth. I was overwhelmed by the sinful things I had done, as well as by the many good things I had failed to do. And so I wondered, could God actually use a sinner like me to proclaim His word? You know, a man by the name of Isaiah felt the same way. In our Old Testament reading, God gives Isaiah a vision of God's heavenly throne. The angels were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And how did Isaiah respond? He said, "Woe to me! I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Simply put, Isaiah thought he was dead meat. Isaiah knew that sinners can't dwell in the presence of the Holy God. You know, a man by the name of Peter had the same experience. In our gospel reading, Peter witnesses a miraculous catch of fish made possible by Jesus. Peter then realizes that he is in the presence of the very Son of God. And remember how Peter responded? He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That's how we may feel when it comes to being God's witnesses. I mean, how can the Holy Word of God possibly be spoken by sinners like us? Won't people say to us, "Who are you to tell me about Jesus? You're a sinner just like me." But remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." You see, the good news is that God works through sinners like you and me. In fact, when Jesus said, "Don't be afraid," that was his way of saying to Peter, "Your sins are forgiven." And when Isaiah was shaking in his sandals, the Lord gave him a vision of an angel touching his lips with a burning coal that had been taken from the altar of incense in God's temple. Now, if you look at maps of the Old Testament temple, you will note that the altar of incense was right in front of the Holy of Holies, the place where the animal blood sacrifices were offered, the animal blood sacrifices that pointed ahead to the sacrifice of Jesus, whose blood atones for all of our sin. The angel then said to Isaiah, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And Isaiah became one of God's most famous prophets. That's right, God used a sinful man to proclaim his word to other sinners so that they too could be saved. And guess what? God also uses an unworthy sinner like me to be your pastor and proclaim God's word to you. Now, if God can use a sinner like me to be his witness, then God can also use a sinner like you to be his witness as well. Because Jesus works through sinners. My friends, I have a vision for this congregation. I want to see us grow in numbers. And I'm not just talking about numbers for the sake of numbers. I don't want new members just to have new names on the books. What good is that, especially if they're not coming to worship? Instead, I have a vision for seeing more people in worship, more people in Bible class, so they can hear the good news about Jesus. In fact, I especially want to see people here who have strayed from the church and haven't been here in years. Even more than that, I want to see people here who have never been involved in the church and currently do not believe in Jesus. But how will this happen? Well, Jesus works through sinners. God can work through us members of Concordia as we share the good news about Jesus with the people that we meet every day. Now, I need to tell you that I do the best that I can as your pastor to be involved in evangelism. I do the best that I can to be engaged in our community. But the fact is, I'm not the only evangelist in this congregation. God has also called you to be His witness in this community. In fact, there are people you know that I'll probably never have a chance to meet. God will use you when He gives you the opportunity to share God's Word with the people that you know in the context of your relationships. In fact, at this point, I'd like you to look at the front of your bulletin cover. You will see that our mission statement as a congregation is, the mission of Concordia Lutheran Church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in its truth and purity. We came up with that mission statement back in 2006 when we had our congregation planning meeting. But how will we do this? Well, by God's grace, the members of Concordia Lutheran will accomplish our mission statement by being, and then you can read all that for yourself. In fact, if you're wondering what's one way I can be prepared and equipped to be a witness in my community, the best way that can happen is for you having regular attendance at services and Bible classes. In fact, I would lovingly say that if you're not currently involved in our Sunday morning Bible class, I hope you can begin to attend. We'd love for you to grow in God's Word with us. You see, as we all grow in God's Word, we will then be prepared to be His witnesses when God gives us the opportunities to speak His Word to others. Now, granted, most of you are not going to be able to speak the word in the same way that a trained pastor is. But that doesn't matter. Remember our sermon hymn? Turn to 826 in your hymnal. Hymn 826. I love the first half of the second stanza. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say He died for all. In closing, if you're still wondering whether a sinner like you can be God's witness, then just remember Isaiah and Peter and me. God works through sinners. And just as the angel touched Isaiah's mouth with a coal from the altar and then said, your sin is atoned for, today you can come to this altar. And as you receive the body and blood of Christ in your mouth, you can hear me say to you, your sins are forgiven. And so, when the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? By God's grace, you can answer, here am I. Send me. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.